Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
We live in a culture that loves to make plans for the future, especially this time of year. January is a month filled with plans, predictions, and resolutions. But the passages we read this morning remind us of a verse from the book of Proverbs, which states, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." Consider the plans in the mind of the man who was inspired to write our epistle. It's difficult to think of anyone who planned and plotted more vehemently against God, his people, and his plan of salvation than a man named Saul. Saul was a man who was uttering threats of murder with every breath. He was going from house to house, dragging off Christian men and women and casting them into prison. Saul presided as the witness in the stoning death of the first Christian martyr, Saint Stephen. Clearly, the plan in Saul's mind was to destroy Christianity completely. But the grace of God found Saul on the road to Damascus. And now the same man who we refer to as Saint Paul proclaims in our epistle that he is a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that he was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, and that grace was given that he may preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Now consider the plans in the minds of the wise men from our gospel passage. When they saw the light from that great star in the east, they set out on a difficult, dangerous journey in search of the newborn king of the Jews. And for a time, they expected to find that king in Jerusalem. But he wasn't there. Instead, they found King Herod. And after consulting with the chief priests and the scribes, Herod sent the Magi to look for the newborn king in Bethlehem. It appears the chief priests, the scribes, and now Herod knew exactly where the Messiah was, but they weren't interested in taking that 6-mile journey to go find him. When the Magi left, the star led them until it came and stood over where the young child was, and they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And in their minds, they planned to return to Herod. But being warned by God in a dream that they should not, they departed into their own country another way. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Finally, consider the plans in the mind of King Herod. His plan was to remain seated on the throne in Jerusalem at any cost. And Herod was an evil man. He murdered friends, family, and innocent children to keep that plan in place. After hearing about the newborn king, Herod devised many a plan to murder the holy child. But God foiled all of Herod's plans. He sent the wise men back to their own country another way, and he sent an angel to speak to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Scripture tells us that Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. In the examples of Saul of Tarsus, the wise men from the east, and King Herod, we recognize the truth in this old saying, man plans and God laughs. And the examples we consider this morning aren't alone. Was it Noah's plan to build an ark? Did Joseph plan to get sold into slavery, thrown into prison, or to rise to such great power in Egypt? Did Moses plan to spend 40 years in the desert herding sheep? Or another 40 wandering in the wilderness? Did Peter or any of the apostles plan to forsake all, to leave everything behind in order to follow our Lord? Throughout the Bible, there are countless instances of God working through the ever-changing plans of people, even changing the plans of people, to bring about his never-changing perfect purpose. The many plans we make for the future are constantly subject to change. But God's purpose will stand. And though there will be moments when we face the unexpected and wonder what he has in store for us, history stands as evidence that God's thoughts and God's ways, as unexpected as they may be, are infinitely better than our own. We can be truly thankful that God's plans for us are not what we would expect. And the perfect example of that truth is found in the story of our salvation. When Adam and Eve sinned, bringing sorrow and death into a perfect world, they only planned for and expected punishment. Naked and in tremendous fear, they hid in the garden. They did not expect God to be so gracious and so merciful. They could not ask or even imagine that God would provide through his Son a remedy, a Savior. One who would crush the head of the serpent, forever delivering fallen mankind from the power of sin and death. When God sent his Son into the world, he fulfilled the purpose of the Lord, but he came in a way that we would never expect. The wise men followed the star, and they entered the great city of Jerusalem in search of the King of the Jews. Never would they have expected to find the king in Bethlehem. And Herod was threatened by the thought of the newborn king because he expected an earthly king, one of immense power and glory that would rightfully seize his throne in Jerusalem. Never would he have expected that the King of Kings, that the Son of Man, came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Never would Herod have expected, never would anyone expect, the Son of God to humble himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In a strict sense, what we celebrate on this Epiphany Sunday is the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. The historic revelation of God incarnate to the world. I'm hopeful, however, that through our worship this day, we may all experience a kind of personal epiphany. That through word and sacrament, we may come to understand our Lord from a new and deeper perspective. To that end, consider the truth that we are now 6 days into the new year. And in your mind, perhaps you've made many plans. But in planning for the future, have you prayerfully considered the purpose of the Lord? The passages we read this morning remind us of that important truth. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. The all-present, all-knowing, all-powerful, sovereign creator of heaven and earth will accomplish his purpose in his creation. The question we need to ask ourselves is whether or not we want to respond to the great love that has been shown to us by imploring our free will to unite our lives to Him. Our minuscule plan to His sovereign purpose. So do the plans you're making reflect those of the wise men who are willing to journey in the heat of day or dark of night to come and worship Christ the King? Or does your planning or lack to plan look more like the chief priests, the scribes, and Herod, who knew exactly where to find Him, but made no plan to go there? This year, by the grace of God, may our Lord be at the center of every plan we make. This year, when we face the unexpected and have to change our plans, may God's perfect purpose fulfilled be our only concern. This year, as we journey from a stable in Bethlehem to the cross on Calvary, may our only resolution be to open our hearts and our souls and our minds to Jesus Christ more than we ever have before. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.